You're Connected is the official audio podcast of the Miami University Alumni Association, available exclusively to the organization's dues-paying members.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I love a three good afternoon afternoon. It means you're fired up and ready to go. And I'm delighted to welcome you all and to celebrate the beginning of the 2007-2008 Miami academic year. I'd like to take this occasion, as you know, to reflect a little bit on what happened during the past year, but even more importantly, to talk about some aspects of our future. You might have noticed that this is different in a couple of ways. The first is that we've changed the venue so that it could be more inclusive for the entire campus community. We're very pleased about that. Secondly, we've renamed it the President's Annual Address as opposed to the State of the University Address to give us the sense of possibility to talk about things that are important for the future and not just where we are today. Finally, we're also, again, broadcasting, we hope, we believe, to Middletown and Hamilton. Welcome. Dean Kelly, you are there, right? This is as you promised, so we're very pleased about that. And we have Gabriella Stoppinger doing translation for us here today. In the brief time that I have today, I would like to first of all highlight some of the accomplishments, the amazing accomplishments of the last year, present a working draft of what I hope will become very shortly Miami's 5-year strategic goals, and finally end with some reflections of how this all comes together to define our future. For Valerie and me personally, this past year has been a year of nothing short of wonderful discovery and exploration. New people, new places, new events, and new ideas. Most importantly, it was a year of peeling back the layers that make up Miami and discovering the richness that makes this place so very special. Last year, we were fortunate to spend time not only on the Oxford campus, but significant time on the Hamilton campus and the Middletown campus, and we also journeyed to Luxembourg and to see the Miami tribe in Oklahoma. In other words, we went from one end of the campus, quite literally, to the other. Of course, it has been reassuring to find out that what we thought we had seen from afar is, in fact, what we've found after arriving here. Of course, there have been a few surprises, and not all of them have been pleasant. And immediately comes to mind the family of mice who took a liking to parts of our car engine. But yes, it was awful. Overwhelmingly, the surprises have been about discovering a place even better than we imagined it. Better because the warmth and commitment of our staff and faculty, the energy and creativity of our students, and the passion of our alums. And speaking of the energy of our students, I would like to thank those students who rang the doorbell at 1:45 this morning. Now, I'm not sure if you were late for the cookies or early for the morning run, but it didn't work. I believe more firmly than ever that one of the most significant elements of Miami's success is how deeply we value community. It runs through every fiber of our university, providing an environment that encourages individual success through collaboration and support for each other. So in that spirit, let me take just a moment to highlight some of the accomplishments of the past year. Although these have all been noted and perhaps even celebrated, it is valuable to spend time on them, reflecting on the excellence and progress each of them represent. And I use the word represent quite deliberately because we don't have time to go through all the wonderful things that happened last year. So I hope that you view these as exemplary of the activities that we've occurred. We began last year with the announcement of the Miami Access Initiative. This fall, nearly 200 new students have joined us through the initiative, met by a committed, enthusiastic group of faculty and staff mentors. It was a year in which we dedicated a new engineering building and a new Gaughan Ice Arena, rededicated McGuffey and Phillips Halls, broke ground for the new home of the Farmer School of Business, opened a residential site in Over the Rhine, and announced plans for a new learning center at the Voice of America site at Westchester. We launched the Top 25 initiative to transform how we teach and learn, the How Writing Center to transform how we learn to write and how we use writing to learn, the Confucius Institute to encourage the learning of Chinese language and culture while adding Korean and Hindi to our already impressive array of language opportunities. It was a year in which we created and launched Saturday Select and Degree Power Schedules at Hamilton and Middletown, to provide more effective access to students, developed a new parental leave policy, created a new category of professionally licensed and clinical faculty, and implemented an unprecedented program of coordinated computer purchasing that saved literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, Reed, I have one question. Can we apply the same thing to Bass Pro Shops? It was a year, and believe me, that I need a discount. It was a year that saw Jack Kirby win the Bancroft Prize, a coveted Bancroft Prize in history for his book Mockingbird's Song, Ecological Landscapes of the South. Susan Paulson won a Fulbright grant. Rodney Coates selected as the 2007 recipient of the Joseph Himes Award for a career of distinguished scholarship by the Association of Black Sociologists. Thomas Clack named as the 2007 recipient of the Carl O. Sauer Distinguished Scholarship Award by the Conference of Latin American Geographies for his career contributions. And Hardy Eshbaugh received the 2007 Distinguished Economic Botanist Award by the Society for Economic Botany. Miami saw another record for funded research with just under $25 million in funds that support everything from producing racial and ethnically specific strategies to manage diabetes, as Jennifer Kinney and her collaborators did, to studying the effects of gravity on growing plants in space, as John Kiss and his team did, from improving the effectiveness of 240 science teachers and principals, as Jennifer Blue, Terry McCullum, and Kevin Stinson did, to exceeding Department of Energy benchmarks for hydrogen storage, as Hong Kai Zhou and his team accomplished. Not to be outdone, and we see a lot of students in the audience, students Franklin Grace III, Anne Marie Spadafore, and Justin Wilms all won Fulbright grants. Teresa Kim, a double major in political science and East Asian language and literature, received a $20,000 Boren scholarship for study abroad. Alexander Barraby, a senior microbiology major, and Christine Hygen, a senior biochemistry major, were selected as Beckman scholars. Eric Fry, a junior physics major, was awarded a Barry M. Goldwater scholarship, and recent music alumnus William Sauerland was named a Marshall Scholar. It was a year in which two architecture students, James Stiwall and Michael Frederick, won a prestigious competition and $25,000 for airport design. The mock trial team won the Ohio Valley Regional Championship, I believe for the ninth time, on the way to a sixth place national finish. And a student group working through the Social Entrepreneurship Program put together a stunning business plan to take Eden Live shirts to campuses in order to support economic growth in South Africa. It was a year when once again Miami's six-year graduation rate exceeded the predicted graduation by 12 percentage points, one of only five universities in the top 100 to overperform at that level. And once again, Miami was in the top 20 of all universities in the number of students that we sent to study abroad. It was a year in which our basketball team won the conference championship game with an electrifying last-second shot. Our hockey team won its very first NCAA tournament game, and our women's synchronized skating team placed second in the world, the very first time that a U.S. team has even won a medal. The team was also awarded the Michelle Kwan Trophy as winners of the Reader's Choice Award for Skaters of the Year, and Coach Vicky Korn won the National Women's Figure Skating Coach of the Year Award. And since I announced the formation of Team Rowdy Bush at last year's annual address, it is only fair that I report that our broomball team did, in fact, storm through the beginning broomball division with an impressive 11-1 record. Or is that 1-11? I always get a little confused about. Anyway, we're going to do better this year. That's what I have to say. And last but certainly not least, we set a new record for private giving with over $50 million in cash contributions to the university. We launched the 100 Professorships and Chairs campaign. In other words, it was quite a year. As exciting as these accomplishments are, though, the coming years look even better if we have the determination and the focus to make it so. So in that spirit, I would like to turn to the future and share some thoughts and goals that I believe will take us to even higher levels of excellence and accomplishment. Now, as you all know, over the past few years, Miami has worked hard to establish and achieve the goals set forth in the First in 2009 initiative. We have looked to our peers to set benchmarks, to monitor our progress, and we have focused energy on some of our most difficult challenges and our most promising opportunities. During this past year, we concluded this effort with a reflective analysis focused on how these individual efforts together, in sum, have impacted the university. The final report, which as you know was recently printed in a copy of the Miami Report, provides a compelling description of what Miami is and even more importantly, what Miami is becoming. The core message of this report is simple and powerful. A single phrase, the committee wrote, captures the essence of our vision for the future, the engaged university. This phrase may not be unique to Miami, but let me assure you that there is no university in this country better situated to live that charge and in so doing to achieve extraordinary success. To achieve that success, we must continue to set goals that will keep us energized and focused. In May, the Board of Trustees held a retreat to assess where we are and where we're going, and the President's Executive Committee, the PEC, put together a set of strategic goals to provide a sharper vision of where we want to go and what it will take to go there. Now, let me be very clear that, and emphasizing that these goals do not represent a new direction for Miami. Rather, they are intended to provide a more coherent, a more focused way, roadmap actually, for extending and stretching what we are already doing. Now, during the fall semester, I'm requesting that all of us take time to review these goals and that every unit provide, by January, a localized version of the goals. That is, a set of unit goals that mesh with or expand on the university-wide goals outlined here. We will then use these unit responses to revise and finalize the university 5-year strategic goals in January and February. But even more importantly than talking about this at the unit level, I am asking that each one of us individually review these goals and ask how we can make Miami better in what we do in our daily lives. I know that at first glance this might seem like, oh yeah, here we go, another planning exercise, and you may be thinking, haven't we done this before? Yep, we have. But to agree that it's absolutely true. But the need to think strategically never ceases in a world that changes so radically and so quickly. In my experience, whether it's how we teach, how we involve students in our scholarship, how we respond to students and parents, how we make the campus more beautiful or run more efficiently, or how we provide core services, whatever it is that we do, knowing what we are trying to achieve collectively will increase the impact of what each of us do individually. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going in great detail on these. There's just not time. So what I'd like to do is first take the macro view and run through the main goals, and then I want to focus on the first of these goals to demonstrate what it is that I hope we can achieve. We're proposing a total of 9 major goals. The first three goals relate to our core missions of teaching and scholarship. And the first, in most ways, is the most powerful. Make the Miami undergraduate experience the best in the country. The defining hallmark of a Miami education is an intense focus on both the intellectual and personal development of our undergraduates, achieved in large part by an emphasis on the partnership between academic life and student affairs. Secondly, to ensure excellence in graduate education, Miami seeks to be outstanding in the graduate programs it chooses to offer. Selective excellence provides for focused accomplishments that best benefit graduate students and contribute most effectively to our teaching and research missions. 3, raise the level of scholarly accomplishment. The teacher-scholar model is at the heart of the Miami experience, is at the heart of Miami's model for faculty. Professors who are at the intellectual frontiers of their respective disciplines make important contributions to knowledge, but they also, and very significantly, provide exceptional learning and discovery opportunities that define the Miami engaged undergraduate experience. And we saw some great examples of that yesterday in the visit with the governor in which students talked about their work. The next two goals speak most directly to our role as a public university. Number four, increase the impact of the regional campuses on the university and on their communities. Miami University Hamilton and Miami University Middletown are core components of the university that must innovate in order to increase their contributions to the universities and the communities they serve. They should be the foremost educational institutions in their communities, and they should be involved in driving their economic, civic, and cultural resurgence. Number five, improve the future of Ohio, and we really should say, and beyond. At the core of Miami's mission as a public university is a promotion of educational and economic opportunities for our region, for our state, for our world. We will contribute significantly to Ohio's transformation to a stronger, knowledge-based economy. Finally, we propose four goals that simultaneously outline how we will achieve the other goals and further strengthen our identity and success. Number six, elevate the national profile of Miami University. We're tired of being called the hidden gem, as it were. Miami University will raise its national reputation by communicating its mission and success to prospective students, the general public, alumni, employers, and state and federal leaders. Number seven, strengthen our identity as the employer of choice for faculty and staff. Miami University faculty and staff are without a doubt the heart and soul of the university. We advance as an institution by ensuring that all of our employees are given the opportunity to grow professionally and personally as they serve the university community. Number eight, maximize the university's resource base. Sufficient resources, including financial, staffing, and service delivery and information processes, are necessary for Miami to effectively provide quality instruction, research, and service outcomes. The university must become proactive and more sophisticated in planning the prudent use of resources to maximize this effectiveness. And number nine, we must create a culture of giving that ensures success for Miami's next century. The future success of Miami, like most universities in our class, rests strongly on private giving. We will cultivate a culture of giving that will significantly increase the number of donors, especially alumni, who will assist in funding the critical university priorities. So having said that, let me now turn to the first of these goals and to talk about what it takes in more detail to accomplish the major goals that I've set forth. Our goal to make the Miami undergraduate experience the best in the country is a clear statement, in my view, of our serious intention to set the standard for an engaged undergraduate experience. It is an ambitious goal, but it is a goal that is both central to the future of higher education, and for which Miami is exceptionally well positioned. We're in the right place to do the right things. At the heart of this goal is our commitment to the development of both intellect and character. Kurt Ellison shared with me a number of writings of previous presidents and provosts and deans and so forth, dating all the way back to President Bishop. And one of the most remarkable features of reading these things is the consistency with which Miami has dedicated itself to both of these things, to the intellect and to character. By doing so, we provide our students with a foundation and with the momentum that will carry them through the rest of their lives. I am not only referring to those measures of success that already mark Miami, like our graduation rate and the placement of our students in the top graduate and professional schools, but also, and just as importantly, I am referring to those core qualities that define the Miami graduate as a person, as an entrepreneurial worker, and as a citizen. As we think about the programmatic goals, I find it useful to reflect on those qualities of our graduates as outcomes that these goals should lead us to. Now, I've had, over this last year, many, many, many opportunities to speak to alums, to speak to employers, to speak to government officials, and I'm relentless in my questioning of them. Do you know Miami graduates? What do you think of them? Are they different from graduates X or Y or Z. And remarkably and consistently, they say, well, actually, there is a difference. And so what I'd like to do is to try to capture, as I did for the incoming class in convocation, a description of what I think marks a Miami graduate. These qualities, I believe, are not only descriptive, but also aspirational. I believe they accurately describe what, at our best, a Miami graduate looks like. But they're also aspirational in that this is what we want for our graduates. First, and most powerfully, well-educated. A liberal arts education, the Miami plan, students, you may now groan, is actually critical to the success of our students, whatever specialty they choose. Our graduates have the ability to think creatively and critically and to communicate effectively. They have a broad knowledge of the natural and social worlds and an appreciation of the aesthetic world. They have a deep and structuring knowledge of their specific fields of study, and they are prepared to participate actively in our civic community. Our students have a great work ethic. This is part of being in the Midwest, I believe, but it's also part of Miami's traditions. They appreciate that immersing themselves in their work is part of our identity and a source of great personal reward and satisfaction. People depend on our graduates to set an example in their work and in their lives through their habits and through their attitudes. Our students have strong values. They understand and exercise the highest degrees of personal and professional integrity. They are conscious of their own moral values and they act on them. They have an unbending commitment to themselves, to their friends, to their family, and to the world around them. And finally, and I think very significantly for Miami, our students have initiative. When asked to go from A to B, our students, our graduates, usually don't need a roadmap or explicit instructions. I have heard this time and time again. In fact, they are often the first to imagine where B is and bring others along to that place. They know how to seize opportunities, and they are not afraid of failure as they pursue their dreams. They are entrepreneurial at heart. Well, let me give you an example of what I mean. Last summer, I was contacted by a rising senior, Kate Waller. Kate is majoring in environmental studies and is concerned that the campus is not doing enough to reduce our carbon footprint and encouraging environmentally sustainable choices. And I agree. Kate has organized a group of fellow students to resurrect a dormant environmental organization and to seek an approach to making our first-year students more aware of the problem and more aware of the alternatives available to them. So Kate came to my office and brought me this bag, which our first year students will soon be getting. And what Kate did with her group was, first of all, to convince Philips to donate 3,500 CFL bulbs. Now, if every one of these replaced an incandescent bulb, the savings to the university would be $48,000 a year. Kate calculated. This is the power of numbers. This is what doing the right choices, which are pretty easy choices, the impact that that can have. Well, Kate's also working on getting another group to give us water bottles so that we don't have to, throw them away. sorry, Kate. And other activities. In other words, I mean, this all happened in a very short time, and it's what I see all the time on the campus. Somebody has an idea, they figure out how to solve that, and they move on it. So in other words, in just a few short weeks, she organized students, conveyed key messages to those who could help, and took action, all of which are a testament to her education, her work ethic, her values, and her initiative. In other words, what we expect from a Miami graduate. Let me turn then to speaking more specifically about some of the programmatic goals that I think we should be setting for ourselves. And I would first like to talk about the academic goals, then we'll talk about student life goals, and then we'll talk about building the campus culture. So what then do we need to do in order to produce students with the profile I've just described? So let's turn briefly to the specific goals identified as part of the Making Miami Undergraduate Experience the Best in the Country. The first set of these goals relate to academic success, beginning with infuse the university with learning and discovery paradigms that focus on inquiry-driven, active forms of education, and complete the Top 25 initiative in the transformation of introductory courses. Now, the possibilities for learning and discovery for a university student have changed dramatically in just the last decade, along with and because of the dramatic improvements in the ability of the internet to support original research, making huge amounts of raw material available to our students as well as our faculty and staff. This provides us with the opportunity to instill in our students and develop in our curriculum an approach that rests on what I earlier this year described as the student-to-scholar model of education, an approach that obliterates the boundaries between our teaching and research missions by viewing students as active agents in the unfolding research agenda, and in turn, by adopting the mindset of research as the motivating impulse for higher education. To seek answers. We all know that a special research experience with a faculty member is the ultimate form of embracing the discovery paradigm and the student-to-scholar model. But how much better will our academic progress be if we can create the right habits of mind at the beginning of the Miami experience? The Top 25 initiative seeks to transform our approach to education at its foundations when our students first encounter Miami. So far, I must gladly report, the results have exceeded my already high expectations. Now, at a recent workshop I attended that was devoted to helping the mentors who are helping with our Miami Access students, I bumped into Professor Len Mark from psychology, who immediately began to tell me about his experience with the Top 25 initiative and Psych 111. He said, "I've done this course 30-some times, but after this, this will be the first time that I will ever have really taught the course." He was so enthusiastic, and I asked him more about this, and he wrote an email, and I want to share this email in its entirety too, because I think it's so eloquent a description of what we hope happens between our faculty and our students in this educational and academic environment. "As faculty," he said, "we can tell students there is certain basic stuff that they have to learn before they come to the frontiers of our knowledge. The difficulty with that approach is that students rarely reach the limits of our understanding because their encounters with textbooks and faculty lead them to believe that they are the repositories of the truth, which is to be memorized for the exam. And the sad reality is that much of the content is forgotten in short order. I am excited," he continues, "about the Top 25 project because it recognizes the possibilities for student and faculty learning that we have in front of us at a university setting. The focus is no longer on the content of the discipline, but on how members of the discipline think, how they use evidence to reach their conclusions. I envision our course redesign in psychology as changing the way students think. We want them to learn to use evidence to support their beliefs, to justify their explanations based on good evidence. In doing so, we hope these changes will transfer not only to advanced courses in psychology, but more importantly, to courses in other departments. If we are successful, students will be able to take control over their own learning. They will be able to use the power of the internet to satisfy their curiosity, and in doing so, demand good evidence to justify their beliefs, as well as open new vistas of information that they can incorporate into their existing knowledge structures." And he concludes, "In light of the problems facing the world today that this generation of students will have to address, will anything less suffice?" I think it's a powerful statement by one of our most committed faculty. Additional goals speak further to how we teach, whom we teach, and our commitment to student success. These include advancing a culture that embraces difference and increases, and we will increase the proportion of minority students to be at least equal to that of the state of Ohio. This is within 5 years. We will increase the study abroad participation rate from 30% to 50% of the Oxford campus students. We will increase the proportion of students involved with direct, meaningful research experiences with faculty and staff. And we will increase the 6-year overall graduation rate from 80% to 85% and narrow the gap for minority graduation rates compared to the overall rate. These are pretty ambitious academic goals, but they all fit. They all make sense. They're all stretching what we already do. Let's turn then to student life goals for an engaged university. And I do love that phrase, the engaged university, that the FIRST in 2009 group put together. These academic goals are complemented then by a series of goals relating to student life, goals that reflect personal growth in a campus climate that promotes learning and achievement. So we will become a national model for the development of the whole person with an emphasis on integrity, responsibility, engagement, and ethical behavior. I'm very excited here to highlight Miami's selection as one of 18 colleges and universities to participate in an AACNU project on educating students on personal responsibility and integrity. Our contribution to this effort will focus on ethics and academic integrity, among others, adding to the work of other universities seeking successful strategies to develop strength of character in our students. As our proposal notes, our aspiration is for each Miami student to be able to demonstrate and act based on Miami's goals for liberal learning. Reflection, informed action, thoughtful decisions, personal moral commitment, ethical understanding, and civic participation. Recognizing the inherent advantages of the Oxford campus provides for students the opportunity to maximize their opportunities for their Miami experience. Recognizing this, we will successfully implement the sophomore residency, thereby increasing student intellectual and personal development, increasing student engagement in the intellectual and co-curricular life of the university, and increasing sophomore year retention rates. With about 1/3 of all of our students participating in the Greek community, the success of the Greek system both derives from and contributes to student success on campus. At its best, the Greek system provides exceptional opportunities for personal growth and the development of a meaningful community. As the original home of 4 fraternities and 1 sorority, we expect the best, and thus we should set a goal to develop a model Greek community that achieves national recognition for its commitment to intellectual achievement, leadership, personal growth, and service to the broader community. And lastly, then I turn to building the campus culture. In addition to these specific academic and student life goals, there are 3 additional goals that cross over these 2 areas and contribute directly to student engagement and success. Critical to our student success is their ability to live and work in a diverse environment. Even more fundamentally, we seek to use diversity and difference to improve what and how our students learn. To do this, we will provide multiple opportunities for students to embrace difference and learn skills for living and working in a multicultural world across curricular, co-curricular, local, and global context. The most recent national survey of student engagement, so-called NESE, once again notes the exceptional level of participation of students in co-curricular activities from clubs to service to intramural sports, all of which give energy to the campus. Earlier this afternoon, I had the good fortune to speak from alum class of 1968 who has been on many campuses, and he said, you don't have to be on this campus very long before you can feel a certain degree of electricity. There is a level of energy, there's a level of student engagement here that is unlike other campuses that he has visited. As in most universities, one of the most intense forms of co-curricular activity is a student athlete competing in intercollegiate sports. The challenge to compete at the highest level is demanding everywhere, but it poses additional challenges at a school like Miami with its high academic standards. And the academic success of our student athletes is impressive. This past year, the cumulative GPA for intercollegiate athletics was over 3.0, and the graduation rate was 79%, only 2% behind the university cohort, which is the 9th best overall public university rate in the country. In other words, we provide the ultimate opportunity or challenge for the student athlete, the opportunity to compete at the highest levels, both athletically and academically. This spirit of competition, this drive to succeed at the highest level, adds to our sense of student engagement throughout the university and supports our drive to be the best. Thus, our goal is to become a national model for intercollegiate athletics by maximizing student development with the successful implementation of the Culture of Champions strategic plan. And finally, recognizing that the new generation of students, thank you for being here today, recognizing that this new generation of students connect, communicate, and learn in a dense maze of technology, we seek to provide an exceptionally effective technological environment. We want our students to be wired, not only to each other, but globally. We want them to be able to pursue their academic interests anytime and anywhere. We want them to be able to organize and to act together, even if geographically dispersed. We want technology to enable the highest levels of intellectual and personal engagement. And thus, we seek to become the national model for the use of information technology in supporting the full range of intellectual and co-curricular life on the university. Now, Miami is about to celebrate its 200th year, an enviable and proud moment in our history. It is a great moment to look back to see where we have been. It is an even greater moment to look forward to where we want to go. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time getting my arms around the notion of 200 years. It seems like an impossibly long time. And as many times as I run up or walk up the slant walk, trying to imagine 150 years earlier, still very, very difficult. This point was brought home to us just in the last few days, crushingly so today, when two large limbs fell from a tree right next to Lewis Place in the front yard of Simpson Shade House. This tree is over 200 years old. Today, the rest of the limbs were cut off, and by tomorrow, it will be completely gone, erased from history. And we will, in its place, plant a 12-foot oak tree, a puny little thing compared to this 200-year-old plus thing, which fortunately did not fall on anyone when it fell. Now imagine that. Most of us here today will never really enjoy the shade of that tree. And yet somehow, by this one action of planting this tree, we will have set in motion things that years and years and years from now will be the foundation for excellence that Miami will be. While we may be concluding our first two centuries, even more importantly then, we are launching our third. I do not know if the founders of Miami could ever have imagined such a place as Miami is today, but because of their efforts, like this oak tree, and the many generations of faculty, staff, and students who have come before us, we here today can now imagine an even more impressive future. The strategic goals I have outlined are the way markers for the path ahead. They are the critical steps in achieving success. Ultimately, though, and this is the message that I want to leave us with, ultimately, though, success requires more than strategic goals. If we want to be among the very best in higher education, if we want to have the greatest impact that we possibly can, we need to understand what it takes to go to that next level. In my view, such success starts with an absolutely relentless commitment to excellence. Excellence is not a part-time attitude. It requires everyone to excel at the highest levels, or seek at least to excel at the highest levels every day, and in every way. Whether we think of it in terms of manufacturing Six Sigma approach or continuous improvement, or simply that irrepressible fire in the belly, we need to have the vision, the passion, the commitment to become the best at everything we do. We must also combine all of our activities and all of our divisions into a common vision for the future. We need to recognize that the seemingly separate parts of this university are actually intimately linked. Whether we are talking about the fusion of teaching, scholarship, and service into a spectacular learning environment, or the combining of the curricular and the co-curricular, the intellectual and character in the development of the whole person, we should see connections everywhere. We need to be an engaged university that obliterates boundaries between our activities and pushes beyond the boundaries of what we have already achieved. Above all, we need to understand why we are here, why this matters, what should motivate this quest for excellence. It is human nature to compete, to want to be the best, but that is not what we are about. Our mission as a public university goes much deeper than that. Last spring, Valerie and I were honored to be invited to speak at a half-day workshop by the classified staff in student affairs. Specifically, we were asked to offer our insights into how to have it all in an era where we seemingly have an impossible array of things to do in both our professional and personal lives. One of the points that I discussed is the value of knowing how our individual contributions, our individual work matters in the bigger picture of what we do. And I shared with them an apocryphal story that we used in Seattle about the Boeing Corporation. And according to this story, at one point there were a group of officials, visiting officials, walking through a Boeing plant. And they came and bumped into a fellow in the hall who was a custodian and stopped and chatted with the person, and they said, "What do you do here?" And the custodian turned and replied, "Why, I build airplanes. I build airplanes." What an extraordinary sense of purpose he had. So I turned to the group and said, "What do we build?" Not expecting an answer, because I had thought this was a rhetorical question, meant to only provoke. But I had no sooner finished than from over here, almost like that, came, "We build students." Well, I was, whoa, this is great. But before I had a chance to recover from that, came an even more global response right over here. Somebody said, "We build the future. We build the future." For the past 200 years, consciously and unconsciously, Miami University has been building the future. As we stand on the brink of our third century, more than ever, we should understand the power of that purpose. Through our students, through our scholarship, through our creativity, through our service, we build the future. With uncommon vision and with a relentless commitment to the highest standards of excellence, we, each and every one of us who are Miami, the engaged university, proudly embrace that challenge. We will make the world a better place. Thank you all very much.
We hope you have enjoyed this Your Connected audio podcast. If you have suggestions for future podcasts, please let us know by contacting your alumni membership office.